Hi, God bless you. It's Alison here. I'm delighted to speak to you about the power of prayer. Our prayer life reveals how conscious we are of the God who is with us. You cannot have something as glorious as the Spirit of God living in you and not talk to Him. The depth of our prayer life reveals the awareness we have of the Spirit within us. A man of God once said, "If you only have 10 minutes to pray, take 7 of those 10 minutes to praise Him." And this is a fantastic truth. Psalms is just a fantastic testimony of pure heart praise to God. You know, I'm just randomly looking at my Bible here, Psalms. I read, "Every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever. God, your greatness is unsearchable. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." And so it goes on and on. We can praise Him and praise Him for 7 or so minutes. We can speak in tongues from the depth of our soul, praising Him, magnifying Him. Then when our heart and mind is positioned on the great reality of who God is, then we pray. And there's a lot of prayers you can get in 3 minutes. Those petitions that God has put in your heart, we pray those. You know, Jude 20 talks about building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Spirit, we pray with the understanding, we build up our faith by speaking in tongues, by praising and praying, worship. It's very mighty, very great. Our prayers can change the course of history, but the strength of our prayer life is determined by the place we pray from. And I'd like us to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. In the King James Version, it reads, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I'd like to take a moment to read these same verses from the Passion Translation of the Bible, and it's quite wonderful. "Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." Let joy be your continual feast. Isn't that fantastic? You know, I want to say, rejoicing evermore is the key to our emotional health. The measure of joy in my life is actually determined by me. If I am lacking joy, it's the evidence of my choices. Now, we know this flies in the face of how people live and what they believe. And a victim mentality has certainly risen up in humanity and, unfortunately, the church, where people blame a husband, a wife, they blame their job, they blame a child, they blame the conditions of today for sucking the joy out of them. But that is not the true reality. Truly, nothing changes what Christ died to give us. And you know, we learn to live this life by not letting life speak louder than truth. Don't let life speak louder than truth. The truth is, Christ hung on the cross for you and for me. Jesus came to give us a life more than abundant. The devil will always steal, kill and destroy, but we are living. with the Spirit of the Christ within and living, accessing the kingdom of God. God has delivered us from this dark world and translated us into his kingdom. So we keep looking at truth and we walk in our identity in Christ and we pray from that position. So you see, joy, so important. We make correct choices on what to believe, what thoughts to have in our mind, and we will have great joy. Remember Nehemiah? The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's so important in adversity to be joyous and be ready to give people a reason for the joy that's in your heart and the joy that's on your face and the beautiful smile you're showing them from ear to ear. What have you got to be happy for, they'll say, and you tell them about the living hope in your soul. So rejoicing is the key to our emotional health. The next verse is, we pray without ceasing. And this is the key to our heart health. Heart health is praying without ceasing. By keeping my heart in touch with God's heart, the right things will flow from it. When I let distance come between my heart and God's heart, it becomes difficult to do the right things. And you know, we see that in the Gospel of Luke 22. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here, in verse 40, he says to the disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. And then later on, verse 46, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You see, a believer who has a prayerless life, who doesn't connect with God in faith and pray, the temptations will move in their life. They'll be tempted to be angry. They'll be tempted to be selfish, tempted to be critical of other believers, tempted to be lazy, and all the carnality of life will move in. But just as Jesus didn't want the disciples to be tempted to do the wrong thing, he encouraged them, rise and pray. Pray, don't enter into temptation. And that's why we encourage each other in the body of Christ to pray fervently. And we can live a holy life, a strong life. We can be strong in love, strong in service. We can be people ready to wash the feet of our brothers and sisters in Christ and to serve them and give them what they need. You see, we need to be strong in prayer. So, that's our prayer without ceasing. We stay strong and then our heart is healthy. That's the prayer without ceasing is the key to heart health. And then, you know, in everything give thanks is the key to our mental health. Being thankful is something we must learn to do deep within us and truly as we recognize God to pray and to praise him, we stay thankful. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things. We should not be murmuring, complaining, gossiping, saying things about others that God wouldn't say. If we bring up a sin or a mistake of a believer, God wouldn't do that. He's cast it as far as east is from the west and remembers it no more. So we shouldn't be talking about other people's weaknesses. We can pray for them and talk about them in light of God. the Christ within them and how wonderful they are. Because Christ died for them, they are so precious, a special member of the body of Christ. So we give thanks. And I'd like to read this little story. I love the story of a weak old coal miner whose body had been ravaged by his many years of hard labour in the mines. In his humble home, there was a table with a small bowl of thin porridge on it. Holding a piece of bread in his coal-stained hand, he was ready to eat his meagre meal at the end of the day. But first he knelt beside the table, joyfully exclaiming over and over again, "All this and Jesus too! All this and Jesus too!" This story is an inspiration. It helps us grasp the beautiful truth that having Jesus in our life means we are blessed beyond belief. Let's get convinced that thankfulness is one of the most important ingredients in a joyful heart. Now, if we only pursue comfort and pleasure in our prayer life, we sacrifice having a life of impacting prayer. The kind of prayer that moves mountains. That moves mountains. And Jesus Christ spoke of this kind of prayer and faith. We rarely hear it spoken of. People don't know what to do with this because they know they're not living it. So it's one of those verses they kind of brush over that Jesus said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, it shall be done." It shall be done. A mighty prayer of faith. You see, as parents, we know the pain of situations and we know that kind of prayer that comes from a hurt heart, a painful heart, but we pray and we give it to God until the burden is lifted. Sometimes that's called contending for breakthrough. Till the breakthrough comes. And I'd like to close out with the verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, 14. And for me, in this day and time, January the 18th, 2021, this verse of truth just burns in my heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We are God's people and we have the Son of God in our heart. We have the Spirit of the living God within our heart. And we need to humble ourselves. We need answered prayer in this day and time. We need to seek God's face and turn from wicked ways. And you know, it's our wicked ways when we live independent from God. When we're so together, we've got all our T's are stroked and our I's are dotted in life. Our ducks are in a row. And so we're kind of praising from a casual position. But here today, we know the global pandemic and the hurt and the pain of people. Jesus would weep and cry for the pain of people. He had the most tender heart that was united with the living God. He did not have a hard heart. A hard heart just kind of shrugs and says, well, you know, I can't do much. Who cares? Well, we'll get through this, whatever. That's not what the believer says who loves God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength and loves people. Two kinds of people in life, not us and them, Christian and pre-Christian. So many people, they've heard religion, they've seen religion, but they've not seen the love of Christ until you come in and love them, bless them. Pay for something for them. Show them the love of God and ask for nothing in return. Just plant that seed of the love of God. And if they ask, speak Jesus. Plant that seed. So what if they're embarrassed? That's okay. That's just fear. But people are sick of religion, but they need the love of Jesus. So we humble ourselves. We say to God, I'm sorry, I've had other things that I've thought were important ahead of praying to you. I humble myself and I pray and I know you forgive me because Christ forgave all my sin and you will heal the land. Our prayers can change the timeline of this pandemic. They absolutely can. Look at what God can do. Nothing is impossible with God. So we pray and we contend for breakthrough. We will not give up until deliverance comes. And we don't know which way it's going to come. For some, it will be the vaccine giving them freedom from fear. For others, it will be a revelation of Jesus Christ. For others, it will be healing in a different way. We pray to our mighty God and we let him serve it up. And I'd like to close with a mighty quote of George Mueller. And it's so great to hear the words of these great people who lived it. The word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, to these great men of God, it wasn't just a theology or a quote. They tasted, they saw, they knew, they experienced the answered prayer, the deliverance of God. George Mueller said, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk. When I lie down and when I rise, and the answers are always coming. Tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I am persuaded that a thing is right, and surely the healing of the land, the healing of the people, the deliverance from lockdowns for people, surely that is the will of God. It is right. George Mueller says, I go on praying for it. The great point is never to give up till the answer comes. The great fault of the children of God is they don't continue in prayer. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. Dear Lord, may we continue to love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. To praise you and to pray for the healing of our land. Amen.